Welcome back to Geek Show Help Desk.
Back again from the dead, mostly dead.
Back
which
from
we all know. It's not dead. I forgot
Did
the
you,
last part
classic
of the quote.
Owen,
hey.
Yeah.
I refer to you as an it's. It's not dead.
It's not dead yet.
It's still alive dead. And it has feelings.
This
it has
is
feelings.
Geek Show Help Desk, where we talk about tech gadgets and sciencey related things that are of interest to us. Let's kick it off by introducing our panelists back again from one foot in the grave, the other one on a banana peel. It's Owen.
That's me. That's a good way to put it. Back from a luxurious stay at Casa de Lakeview in Bountiful, Utah. Coming at you strong. Catch me here.
You're looking
basically.
Good.
Basically the only place I've been. Got my voice back. Turns out I was all sorts of sick, not just that.
Everything piled up.
Yeah, wow. Turns out
so
they.
The last 2 weeks has just sucked.
Yeah, it's been rough. So everything's good now. I mean, mostly good.
Is it? So, is it good? Is it?
It's yeah. I mean, we're gonna get some context compared to what it was before. It's good now.
So there you go.
Did you get some nice naps in at least?
Oh, dude, I slept so much. That's all you do between finger pricks.
Yeah,
that's
not so bad.
When you're getting
bad,
your blood
right?
drawn. Yeah.
Sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah, getting waked up every 2 hours for vitals.
Did you at least take your Steam Deck with you so you could do something?
Yeah, I took that Steam Deck that I sold to my buddy with me. No, I didn't.
Anyway, moving along.
I see that it hasn't improved your attitude at all.
Nope.
So that's fun.
It's James.
Oh, hey, what's up?
He's with us today.
Smash that like and subscribe button. I'm back. I took Landon's place, so get ready.
Are you back forever? I hope so.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. So we can just push Landon out.
He answered.
I don't know if you can
quickly.
Push him out so much as roll him, but yeah.
People need to get on YouTube and take a look. James is looking fabulous today.
Okay, first off, what do you want? Are you looking for money?
Nothing.
Is that what you're looking for?
No, I'm just trying to make amends. I don't want to start this episode off sour. Do you have some land? Oh, you can't get rid of it.
I'm willing to almost give it away to you for free.
Dag, yo.
Let's move along. James, I haven't
seen you in very long, so.
Let's move it along.
Nothing has changed. Nothing at all. Sorry.
It's Jaren.
Hey, this is Jaren.
Easy, Pete.
You can find me on Twitter or Geek Show Arcade, at Jaren on Twitter. And we have a host, Tony.
Hey, it's me, Quad Tony. Check me out on Twitter at Quad T Tony or on other Geek Show podcasts. All right, intros are done.
And you are surprised that it got derailed, okay?
I was not surprised.
That's on you. That's like
everything surprised. Everything went exactly like I imagined it would.
Did it? Did it though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, shoot.
All right. Okay. Do we have any emails today for Geek Show Helpdesk at gmail.com?
Yes, we do.
Geekshowhelpdesk@gmail.com.
Got email from Chad Brooks. He says, "Hello, Geek Show Help Desk. I need some buying advice from you on e-bikes. I am totally overwhelmed by the sheer number of brands, styles, and other options, and would love to know the panel's thoughts on them. If I remember correctly, one or more of you have owned an e-bike in the past. Do you still ride regularly? Any buyer's remorse? I can help narrow it down a bit, hopefully. My budget is in the sub $1,000 to $1,500 range. And I'm looking for something that's foldable slash portable. Also, I'm quite tall, 6'5", so that should probably be taken into consideration. Other than that, I'm not too picky on specs like range and miles, top speed, charging time, etc. Thanks in advance for your advice and wisdom."
Tony, how tall are you?
6'6".
Okay, so first off, we need to see a cage match between you two. I think it would be both hot and fun.
Got to get me in there first. I don't think it's going to happen.
Doors are kind of small.
Yep. I have had two different e-bikes, and one of them was foldable. The other one is not. I sold the foldable one. I don't think I'd recommend that brand, just mainly because they're out of Denmark and nobody services them here. So it makes it hard to do any repairs needed on them. I Mate, that was the brand.
But do they do bikes different over there? Like still two wheels?
Yeah, still two wheels, still handlebars, you know, that kind of thing.
It's the parts. It's the parts you can't get over here.
Yeah, yeah. My recommendation for sure is to get a popular brand of e-bike, especially in the US, so that you can get it serviced if you need to. Bikes are one of those things that tend to wear down quickly because you use them a lot.
Yep. Or in my case, you don't, and it sits there, and you wonder, why did I spend $2,000 on this?
E-bikes became one of those blow-up things, like, where all sorts of companies just came out of the woodwork on Amazon, and they just throw some random company name on there and just sell a bike with a cheap motor on it. And
that's the thing, you can go on Amazon and look at probably 12 different bikes, and they're the same model, just with different stickers.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so I would definitely get a name brand bike.
What's a US brand you guys like?
There's two that I really like. Rad Power's
bikes, nice.
And Aventon.
Yep.
Aventon's the one I own.
Same.
I would choose either one. Aventon does have a folding bike. It's $1,500. It's called the Cinch.2 e-bike. Then Rad Power also has a folding e-bike. Trying to find what that actual model name is, but they do have one. I'm positive of that.
If one thing to consider is it's a folding bike. So 6'5" on a folding bike is 6'5" on a folding bike. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Like folding bikes are smaller.
And they are. So, yep. So the Rad Power bike is the Rad Expand 5 or Rad Expand 5 Plus. That one's a bit more expensive than the Aventon, but both of those bikes you can find bike shops that'll do work on them, and I feel like they're good quality. The first bike I had, the Mate bike, same one that Tony had, my battery just died way early, and I think I only had it for like 2 years, and there's nothing I could do because
they're Mate, in Denmark.
Yeah, I could buy a brand new battery for like $600.
Yeah, but it was like $600 or $700, crazy expensive.
I didn't trust them anymore at that point. So anyway, that's my recommendation.
Yeah, same. What Jaren said. Thanks for writing in. Any more emails?
Yep, got another email from Chris. Yeah. He says, hello, help desk.
Hello.
I have had an Ego mower and trimmer for over 7 years. I have noticed the battery life of the bigger mower battery has been getting less and less. We just got a new 56-volt, 7.5-amp-hour battery, and the difference in performance is very noticeable. How long should a battery last, and do you know how to dispose of an older one? Also, a quick review of the Ego mower, trimmer, and snowblower. Love them. Never going back to a gas anything ever again. Thanks for letting me listen, Chris.
That's so funny because right before we recorded, I was mowing my lawn with my Ego mower, and I think I'm having battery issues. Like, it's like, what's going on here?
I've had my Ego mower now for 7-8 years, and my battery's still going strong. Does not mean that you had a bad one. I think 7 years is probably...
That's an outlier. You got a really good battery. Holy cow.
Yeah, I think so. But my Ego trimmer, that battery died after like 3 years.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's kind of a battery lottery, honestly. 7 years, I think, is a good life for a battery. So when I was shopping for my new battery for my trimmer, I noticed that on Amazon, there are third-party brands out there that are half the price than the Ego brand battery. And I picked that up. It's been working great on my trimmer. So that's very positive. As far as recycling the old one, Lowe's, Home Depot, they have battery recycling stations there.
Or your local, my local landfill has an e-waste you can take them to.
Oh, like cool.
An e-waste place.
Or if you have no conscience, you can just take it to a dumpster.
Or the West.
There's a lot of options here on the table. James. Some of them are better than others.
You put them right next to your oil that you don't need anymore.
You could go to call2recycle.org, and that can help you find something. But
find a place.
Home Depot, Lowe's, they usually have them.
So I started my mowing today. It takes about 40 minutes to mow my lawn, and the battery went from full to 20% in like 20 minutes, but then it stayed at 20% the whole rest of the time. And didn't have any problems. So I'm wondering if I just have some sort of weird readout issue going on.
Yeah, it might be. Was your grass extra thick? Was it your first time?
Yeah.
That could be it too. Because I know that if my grass is like extra wet or thick, my battery goes down quite a bit.
What's that, James?
No, I just oogling over your grass. It's thick. I like it. Take good care of your lawn.
Mine is not thick in the front very much because my neighbor got a dog over the winter and has let the dog go out and pee all over our shared front
yard. So you have spots where it's extremely green and other spots that is
desert dry. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, okay, come on, man. And he says he's going to fix it. We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thanks for writing in. That was the saddest no I've ever heard in my life.
I was having fun.
Okay. Big news coming from Apple. We have an announcement from Apple.
Pre-announcement of an announcement. Yeah. They have an event coming May 7th. Woo. And it's most definitely iPads because the little graphic they have is an Apple Pencil. Yeah. And
we get Apple Pencil broke.
You guys ever had the Apple Pencil break?
I've lost one of mine before.
I think the nub broke. It stopped writing on my
iPad. Your nubbin broke? Sorry, buddy.
I think you can get new nubbins for it.
Yeah, they'll probably release new iPads and standardize the pencil for all of them because right now you have two different models working for two different pencils and it's kind of confusing.
Yep. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to show off OLED iPads.
That's the rumor.
Heavy rumor. I hope they are. But
you have to do it then, right? Like if it's got OLED, you have to buy one. That's
morally obligated to buy one.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Yep. I said I will upgrade if it's just OLED. I use my iPad mostly for consuming media, reading comic books, reading the news, watching YouTube videos. Look
great on an OLED screen.
That's the thing. They are going to look so good on an OLED screen. So,
I hope it's OLED because their mini LED technology in the iPad Pros is complete trash.
It's not good. Yeah.
No, like whatever they did on the MacBook Pros is not what they did on the iPads because it is extremely blotchy. There's like half an inch of blooming around any white text on it's horrible.
I'm glad that you guys noticed that because I thought it was because I left it out in a car when it froze one night and I thought I ruined it, but after having such a clear screen on a Mac, I'm like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. And like the backlight on the iPad doesn't keep up with the refresh rate either, which is nuts. Like if you're watching a movie with flashing lights, you'll see like residual halo after image from the LEDs not keeping up with the image.
I would even take if they did the iPad Air with the OLED screen, not even a better processor than what I have in the iPad Pro, I would switch to that.
Right.
Without a hesitation.
Yeah. The processor, while I love new processors and more power that I won't use, you won't use it.
I would take an M1 with an OLED screen over my M2 without an OLED screen.
Are we ever getting Mac OS on this?
Maybe sometime. I think they'd be stupid not to, but they seem to be fighting it really hard.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
Dumb.
So, all right. Well, there you go. May 7th. May 7th. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Make an announcement for an announcement.
That's right. Teasing. The tease. All right, Owen. I think we've talked about this before. Is this an update? A vaccine for cavities?
I don't know. It came out of Ars Technica. And
what kind of bullcrap is this?
It's I don't know. Stop me if you've heard this before. But back in 2000, there was a guy doing some work creating a specific strain. There's a specific strain of bacteria on your teeth that causes both plaque and acid, which basically that's the one that traps the acid against your teeth, which causes cavities. The scientist back in the 2000s found that there was a certain strain. He sampled 115 different strains of this from people's mouths, and he found one that did the opposite. It created an antibody. And he used that strain of bacteria, and he modified it a little bit. He made it so that it wouldn't accept bacteria interchange a lot with each other features and things. They cross pollinate a lot. So he turned that feature off and he created this bacteria that basically it kills the bad bacteria on your teeth and you'll never get a cavity again. It's basically all the micro, because your mouth is a microbiome, your gums, all the bacteria that live in there. And so he said, this one, and it occurs, it's a naturally occurring bacteria, so you're not interested in anything new. And he tried to push it, and in 2006, they tried to do some human trials, and it went nowhere, because they couldn't stop cross-spreading. What if you have this form of bacteria, and you kiss somebody or share a spoon or something, and now they have it too against their consent?
I feel like this is how zombie movies start.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff right here.
So that's not even the story. That's just the history. The story is these two engineers that as a date night, they peruse old scientific literature. They were like on, it's like a romantic evening. Silverstein, I want to find his name. Aaron Silverbrook. Aaron Silverbrook.
Silverstein. He wrote books.
Yeah.
Poems.
There we go. Shell Silverstein.
So he found this article and he's like, this is what happened to this. And he picked it up. He contacted the scientist who is now retired, and this just kind of got killed. And he's not doing human trials. They have decided to push this as a cosmetic, don't need
less regulation,
any type of FDA approval.
Yep, and this is how the end of the world starts.
This is how it starts, right? They're like, we can get around this. They debuted this at some trade show type of thing, and they were saying they were letting people use the product for $20,000 per treatment.
Vitalia is the conference. Yeah. It's in Honduras. Vitalia. Although let you do anything down there.
Anything.
I know. I was there for 2 years.
Honduras is the tartar capital of the world.
Tartar capital. So now they're going to sell it for $250 a pop per treatment. That's before taxes and shipping.
How often do you have to get a treatment? And you just squirt one time bacteria in your mouth?
No, you just brush your teeth with this special toothpaste once.
What?
And it introduces it, and the bacteria starts to... Basically, what happens is the bacteria is one that's already occurring in your mouth. Have you ever met people that just don't get cavities?
I'm one of them.
Like,
me too.
You could possibly have the strain that the original scientist found naturally occurring.
So if you kissed me, would I pass it on? Would it be free for
maybe
you?
You've been... You know what? The hero you should
try
we
it
need.
Out.
The hero, you're the hero England has needed.
Maybe if James and I,
yep,
we would create a super strain of awesome bacteria.
Yep.
See?
Hey, let's not gloss over Owen's slam on England. England.
I think we have one listener over the pond. I want to say Cody, maybe.
Chris Cushley.
Cross
the pond.
What's he going to do? Yeah. Hop on his old England, wooden though. Ship? Come anyway. Get us?
You could naturally have this naturally occurring bacteria that kills plaque, kills the bacteria that create acid and that film we know as plaque. But this one has basically been modified so that it can't become a super bug because it won't allow any type of uptake from another bacteria. You know, he only wants this one modifying.
So he's saying it can't mutate, basically.
It can't mutate. But yeah, and you can buy this for tuner.
That's what the bacteria wants us to think.
This is Jurassic Park of the mouth. Like, this is life will find a way. Come on. They haven't set a release date or anything, it's basically, if you brush once, it's already there and it will begin to propagate and it slowly takes over that natural strain of bacteria that's already in your mouth, but you can speed up the propagation by doing
couple brushes.
Treatments. Yeah.
So I just think it's hilarious that at the at this conference it was $20,000 per treatment, and now they're selling it for $250.
Yeah. Turns out bacteria are super easy to produce and always have been.
Turns out inflation is a crock.
Yeah.
It's all just made up. Whatever they want, still make a profit.
These people from Honduras will pay anything. So
I can promise you that people from Honduras, most of them aren't buying anything for $20,000.
Yeah. So there's no data how it could spread between people, which brings up concerns and questions of informed consent if somebody doesn't want to risk taking the untested bacteria.
Who wouldn't want an awesome mutant mutation?
Who wouldn't want no cavities? I mean, you might be a zombie, but you'd have the best teeth in the horde.
What if 5 years from now you grow hair on your tongue? Was it worth it?
Or another tooth? Who knows?
Who knows? Some extra teeth on the roof of your mouth. Make chewing easier.
I've been watching Fallout, so this all seems very relevant.
This is all, you know, it's like that that salamander thing that has human fingers in its mouth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one. Oh, gulpers.
The gulper.
Gulpers.
Oh, dude. I've been playing Far Harbor, and those gulpers, oh my gosh.
Have you been watching the show, James?
I binged it. I love it. It's so good. We'll talk about that in
I have like two episodes left, so you can't
oh my god.
I tried to get all of them, but they kept waking me up in the middle of the night and I couldn't get through them all.
Dude.
Jaren, you need to see this gulper. It is wild.
It's
like
so...
a giant axolotl.
I don't wanna.
Except it opens its mouth and
more fingers.
It's all fingers coming out of the roof and the bottom of its mouth, trying with fingernails and everything. You're missing out. That show's so good.
Dude, anyway, so
yeah,
maybe you can get some free cavities here. She says, this lady points out, the regulatory system isn't 100% clear on this.
Yeah,
so they found a loophole, cosmetic, and they're pushing it out into the world.
Just like all the nutritional supplements.
I think.
Thanks, Orrin Hatch.
Yeah.
You don't need to have
FDA. Do you wonder if this is like a sneaky way to do a human trial? And then eventually this will just be like standard in all toothpaste?
You know, I bet pro-dentites are pushing, have like a lobby group and are telling Congress, don't approve this.
Put dentists out of business.
Is that is that a group that's made up by the 10th dentists?
Yeah, the one that didn't recommend.
Yeah.
9 out of 10. The one out of 10 that didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Maybe that must be different than what I was thinking of then. I must have been thinking of something else because that is way more than I had remembered happening. So
neat. Vaccine.
All right. I got some Microsoft news here. Let's talk about this. Microsoft is launching something they call Phi 3, PHI-3, and it is the smallest AI language model yet. So, for instance, it uses 3.8 billion parameters and is trained on a data set smaller relative to large language models like GPT. And now you can access that with...
Do you really want to... AI that's less smart?
Well, so what they're saying later on in the article is they're saying that it performs close to the same as other models that are 10 times its size.
Listen, Tony, this one, it might be stupid, but it's smart in its own way.
But okay? It's cheap.
If we want large language models on device, on our phone.
This is the kind of stuff you're going to need.
Yeah, this is what you need, because they're very RAM hungry, very power hungry, and...
So it's locally saved on your device?
Unless you're doing all the processing off on the cloud, you know?
Exactly. Like, that's what this is shooting towards long term. Like,
what was that device that MKBHD hated? The
Humane
Star Trek?
Humane AI.
Yeah, would this be a better solution for them? Because it takes so long for it to give you anything,
and it
would learn you better.
Well, I think anything would improve that. So, yeah, probably.
I don't know. They used a 3-year-old Qualcomm chip on it when it was released. So they're not even using current tech in that.
And is that just
all they need is a chip that will process voice and send it to the cloud, because that's what they're doing. Why is it overheating?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently that wasn't very good.
Probably memory leaks all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Probably. But anyway, that's where we're at with this. Got a sneeze. Sorry. Excuse me. That's pretty much it. Just they're making these smaller and smaller so they can work on smaller powered devices.
So they just learn, they're using less data, smaller data sets, right? That's what they're saying?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder how they perform better do they just read slower? Use their finger to follow the letters on the page.
Logically, and I'm spitballing
all the books
here.
Are cardboard backed.
Yeah.
But logically, the more you train something, the better it gets at stuff. So if you can train something for a long time on a whole lot of data, and then take what it learned and put it in a smaller footprint that has less access to that data, it should still be able to propagate.
Pick it up.
You know, answers in a in a decent fashion. But like I said,
it doesn't got a big brain, but it's smart in its own way.
That's pure speculation.
Yes. Tony is not an AI expert.
Yeah, Tony.
I'm not. What do you know? I just said I wasn't.
Are you AI?
But if they want AI to be like humans, that's what it is. We soak up information and we have learning algorithms in our head, and then the information goes away and we can still use the stuff we learned. So, yeah. I mean, that's same.
If you're like me, I'm really good at doing any three things in the moment, but don't press me for any more time.
You don't think that's how brains work, Jared?
Don't they say that memory is corrupted every time you recall a memory?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you just said.
That's only in a human
they
memory.
They said
though.
It.
Not in a perfect silicon brain.
It's science. That's true. That's true. I need a silicon brain.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's talk about this Boston Dynamics robot, because this is the other thing that could bring about the end of the world.
If you want to be terrified for the day, check out this new Boston Dynamics robot. It starts out prone on the ground and gets up in a way that you would never expect.
Yeah.
It's like lying on its back and its legs fold up backwards over
itself.
Oh, this
is straight out. Oh, no.
And it stands up and then its head moves towards you. And it starts walking backwards towards you. Then the torso turns and comes to you. And then it just walks away.
This is straight out of the movie The Ring. This is straight out of the movie The Ring. Like, it's just put some black hair on this thing. And you have that creature from that movie The Ring.
But the light on the face is yellow, which is okay. You only have to worry if it's red.
Yeah, it's a circle face.
What color are its eyes?
Mm-hmm. Has a little antenna coming out at its head. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, they decommissioned their hydraulic robot, and shortly thereafter, they debuted this. It's they don't use hydraulics anymore.
It's all electric motors.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. Is the hydraulic one the one that we saw doing parkour and stuff?
Yeah. So this one's all electric motors, which means you can have joints that just turn 360 degrees forever.
Right.
Like the range of motion is unlimited.
So more terrifying. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Much stronger. No kill switch. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting. I really want to know what the battery life is like. I would be
not
very
great.
Curious about that.
I would bet.
Dude, what if this could go use your ego motor to mow your lawn? Hey, robot.
They already have lawn mowing robots. They don't look like a terrifying thing that can
destroy
you. Aren't
they just like Roombas, though?
Yeah, they are.
Basically, lawn
what
Roombas.
Else do they need to be?
You need a bipedal, obviously.
No,
so
no.
You can scare
all you need to do
because it looks cooler.
Put a stake on the ground, get a self-propelling mower, try a rope to the stake.
It looks cooler.
And it'll mow around in a circle by itself.
It's genius. I saw that. Yeah. I thought about doing that.
Until it reaches the end of its rope, and then it just sits there and
then who knows what happens. That video always, the videos
ends
always
too soon.
End. Yeah, the videos end right before that, Tony, every time. I want to see that, though. Does
probably
it chew the stake up? Does it
rips
rip the
pole
chain
out? Yeah, rips the pole out and just drives off into the neighborhood. Running over small
that's
humans.
That's why we have this new Boston Dynamics robot, to take that's care right. of that problem when it's done.
This
all
makes
turn the
sense.
Mower off when it reaches the middle of the circle. That's what it's for.
Fix Oop, that for
turn
you.
The mower off. It's reached the end of its chain.
Genius. All right.
I've always been interested in we make humanoid looking robots, because is the human physique really the optimal shape?
Depends on which human you're talking about.
It's true. I would want one like Terry Crews.
You're both barking up the wrong tree. It's not is the human shape ideal. It's we've built our world around the human shape.
Okay, now you need to prove that you're not a synth, Tony.
It is ideal because that's what we've made it around us to be.
We must create robots in our own image.
Humans don't evolve anymore. We evolve everything around us so we don't have to change.
No, we're evolving, not getting cavities.
Maybe.
Oh, boom.
Against your will, depending on who you kiss, too.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Debatable. Let me see your
There's
belly button.
Dental terrorists
I'm
out
offering,
there.
I'm offering free no cavities here.
Jared's kissing booth is open.
Let's get Uncle Squeaky in here first.
Just come on over.
It's interesting. Somebody once told me that, Michael Phelps, how did they phrase it? It's like he swims because he's built like a swimmer. Like, his lungs just has the body like, type.
Hold much more yeah. air than
yeah, and his, and the way his arms his body are shaped. Longer Lance, than yeah, yeah.
Lance
yeah.
Armstrong, the same thing, right? Like, they proved that his lung body volume was much higher. I mean, oh, well,
no, he was
that
on
plus,
drugs.
That plus also the blood that doping. Too. Yeah, the blood doping was secondary, but his lungs held like 30 or 40% more volume than typical.
That would be helpful in a typical in an aerobic sport. Okay. Owen, tell us about this flame-throwing robot dog. It sounds kind of like last week's paintball security camera.
We just found the robot's best friend.
I don't know where this is coming from, but they have all sorts of use cases for it. But it's just a robot dog with a full-on flamethrower on its back.
What are the use cases, Owen?
Yeah, I'm curious. So they're pushing this. Here's their use cases, because they got some.
Do they?
I want to get
Owen's
the right
taking the robot
here.
Side, guys.
Oh no, there's a part of the video where it has a laser.
30 yeah, laser guided range.
Here we go. Here's what they're billing this as: wildfire control and prevention. So you can go out and start some burns. Assuming the robot doesn't just light on fire itself. I mean, I don't know how heat resistant the robot is. It seems to be throwing the fire away from itself, not towards itself. So I'm there.
It is another a cute one. Robot.
Yeah. Aww. Here's the next one. Agricultural management. Seems like wildfire control and prevention.
Ditch burning.
Yeah. Ecological conservation. That one's big. Here's one where there's a big one. Here's one though. Here's where it fits right into us here in Utah. Snow and ice removal.
Ooh,
that's
how funny
for
would
us.
That be? This robot dog walks out onto your driveway covered in snow and just starts torching it. Neighbors are just like, "What?"
This is straight from that video. Straight from that video of that guy. There was a video that went viral of a guy using the Elon Musk flamethrower to melt the snow in his driveway.
Yeah.
You know, and then the last video, one is entertainment and SFX, so special effects.
The video of that guy using his not a flamethrower on his driveway just reminded me of that episode of The Simpsons when Homer refuses to mow the lawn because it's too much work, and he tries to do it all with his weed whacker. Ned Flanders mows his lawn and comes back over to Homer, and Homer's done like a 5-foot path.
Yeah.
He's still going at it. He's like,
yep.
Well, the lawn's too hard. I'm just going to use my weed whacker.
You get a controller to carry it or to do this. It's got a laser. I don't know what the laser guided thing is for, but
it's like a cat. It just always goes after the laser.
It's a weapon loophole. In the U.S., flamethrowers are legally unregulated in 48 states. So there's a few. Maryland, they consider it a fire. You got to have a license. And California, where the range can't exceed 10
feet. Of course, California.
Well, you can have
a bunch of libs out there.
You just can't shoot it. You just can't shoot your flame more than 10 feet.
It's almost like California is afraid of massive wildfires that happen there every year.
Nonsense.
Weird.
Yeah. So it says, according to Therminator, accordingly, so it's they say this should be dangerous. It can burn both people and things, start fires, wreaking havoc if not used safely. Accordingly, the Therminator might be one Christmas present you should skip. I don't think so. I think they're selling this. Did they say what the price was? I want to say it was
$10,000. Just under $10,000.
Just not the price, $9,420. You'll never have to. You might never have to. Get the snow out of your yard anymore, or have a house.
That's worth it.
No shoveling snow, and if it comes back pissed, it can just light your house on fire, and then you also don't have to do anything else.
Best can it deliver live between agriculture and children?
Yeah.
No, AI is not that smart yet.
Dang it!
30 foot. This has got a 30-foot range. It features a 1-hour battery. That seems weak. We can fix that. Come on, America. 30-foot flame throwing range and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity for remote control through the smartphone. So,
that's a deal at any price. $10,000.
You know, take over your lithium batteries.
And the thumbnail they got for the video is spot on. Just spraying fire in the woods. Here you go.
Man.
Looks great. It looks sci-fi. This looks right out of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if this doesn't get into a movie soon, I would be...
Hollywood's wasting their time then.
Oh, yeah.
What's this all been about? What are we even doing?
Exactly.
What are we going on about?
Now, going along with automated fire dogs, we have Tesla dropping the price of their automated driving permanently.
Yeah, I think we talked about the subscription being half price, but they dropped the price of the full-on one-time purchase.
How much? Was it $10,000?
It was $12,000 before, now it's $8,000.
Do you think that's because the trial they ran and they let you try it and they saw that everybody went, yeah, no. So they're
I think it's
no
because their profits dropped massively in Q1. Mm.
Yeah.
And they're trying any way to increase sales here.
Well, and you think about it, all these cars already have the hardware. All Tesla has to do is push the button to enable it for them. So it that's $8,000 so profit right that, there.
Yeah, day and age, we're just, you know, I felt weird doing a software update on my door lock. And cars feel weird,
too. It's
like
a browser. It's just like a browser extension.
I can play Doom on it.
I was hoping they were going to cut this to half price as well, but
would you have done it? Did you? Were you
probably not? I would do it at like $3,000 to $4,000, maybe tops.
Did you use it? How did you honestly feel? Was it terrifying?
At first it was terrifying. Then it was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then I still have a couple days left of the free trial, and now I'm like, what's the point of even enabling it? I'm in the car anyway. Might as well drive.
Right.
That's kind of how I felt. If I'm going to have automated driving, I want it to be fully automated driving where I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Got to wait for the rest of the world to come online, though, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you have to be just as alert.
Exactly. That's the thing. So I feel like, why don't I just drive at that point, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. It feels like your teenager's driving, so you want to be alert.
Yep. Microsoft news again. They are finally admitting that the Windows Store is dookie. And they're going to allow you to install apps from the Windows Store just on the internet.
Out of spite.
From the developers' pages that they want to
put up. Because right now when you install something from the App Store, it goes to that stupid
restricted up the Microsoft Store
folder. Have you ever tried to find the shortcuts or dig to the bottom of where an app starts coming from the store?
Yeah,
they bury it.
They just barely started opening that up for games within the last year, but now apparently they're just like, if you want to download stuff straight from the page that it's on, we're not going to make you open the Microsoft Store anymore.
So it downloads an exe file just like before? Just like the old days?
I don't...
That's what it looks like it's doing.
It would appear to be that, yeah.
Which is just like going to their store to... And that's not new, right? Like, most developers have the store app, which was kind of like, it's there, but you could still go to the website and download it directly. Yeah. I feel like the store existed mainly for companies that were doing like MDMs, because you can only allow downloads from the store, like the volume purchasing, and that's how it all worked to mobile device management, like Intune and whatever.
So they've been testing it over the last 5 months and say that on average they've had a 12% increase of people choosing to install stuff, whereas before they wouldn't have because it opened up the Microsoft Store. So I don't know how they measure that.
How's that for customer feedback?
Yeah, 12% uptick, you know? So there you go. Microsoft knows that their Microsoft Store is dookie.
If it would just work 100% of the time, then it wouldn't be.
Everybody
That's what they should be doing.
You know, making most it work. Things, if it just worked 100% of the time, it'd be great.
Microsoft's problem is that they're not so great at the data gathering game, and they want you to sign in. They want you to, hey, who are you? You know?
Well, and also that the downloads just sometimes don't work. Or when you click update, it says, oh, something has gone wrong. Try again. You click
it's ridiculous.
Retry, it doesn't work. Then you click retry, and then it suddenly works. Why?
Because you're holding it wrong.
It's a pile of dog crap. That's why.
Clicked it wrong the first time.
All right, let's talk about something fun, like new display tech. I love new display tech.
This one came out of nowhere to me. I didn't even know about this type of display tech till today when I read about it. Because I'd always thought that micro LED was the next wave of awesome display tech. And micro LED does still sound pretty awesome, but it is also probably going to be very expensive, at least for quite a while.
Yep.
New display tech is called QDEL.
That's just LED backwards.
Did they just spell LED backwards?
LEDQ.
They don't know.
Yes. It's also known as, where did it go? Nano LED. So what they're using is quantum dots and pretty much only quantum dots. So they're taking away the LED out of the equation. And you're using just quantum dots, which they're already using in LCD TVs and OLED TVs to boost color accuracy. The difference here is there is a...
What's it using for the light? The light emission?
Well, why, Tony? I'm glad you asked. They have a... There's a quantum dot in between an anode and a cathode, which those... It facilitates the flow of electricity into the quantum dot, which makes it self-emissive.
What?
So basically, they're just zapping electricity at the quantum dot, making it light up.
Like, and it just pop.
Yeah. So no LED. They're zapping it, making it light up, and
it's not an organic.
Yeah. So
thing at this point, so it shouldn't degrade over time.
No risk of burn-in, and yeah. a prototype device. Is reaching 614,000 nits.
Whoa. I'm sorry, what?
Jeez.
That's light. That's like
staring into
the sun.
That's
like Vegas. That's like Vegas bright, like Vegas signs and stuff.
Yeah, it's yeah. That's freaking light. Real devices likely won't reach that high, but...
You don't need to.
It bodes well. Yeah. And since it's just quantum dot... which already exists in many manufacturing processes, unlike micro LED, it should be relatively cheap to manufacture
and quick to market, right?
Get to market, yep.
Hmm.
So it's extremely exciting. And on top of all that, it should boost the color spectrum dramatically compared to what we have right now.
What? Better color range as well?
Better everything.
This is ridiculous.
And it should be in a thinner module or thinner.
Have you told Valve?
Stop selling. Okay. I'm already in.
The next Steam Deck needs QDEL.
Seriously.
Yes, QDEL.
I want my. No, so the only question now at this point is how fast can they flicker these things? You know? What's the refresh rate on this? Yeah. I wonder.
Well, it's just electricity. Well, like, how fast can you make electricity go?
Also, if you're using that electricity all the time, is it going to be more power hungry? Like,
no, it's more power efficient because there's not any electricity wasted by production of heat from the LED.
You're not limited by the electricity for speed. You're limited by how fast can the thing turn on and off that the electricity is running through. So that's they don't say that on here, do they?
Well, quantum dots don't have a problem right now with pushing high refresh rates.
That's true. Very interesting. Interesting find there, Jaren.
I'm very excited for this.
Yeah.
We'll likely see it in real life maybe 5 years down the road, I'm guessing.
I bet we see something in CES in the next couple of years.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be the place to show it off for sure. All right. I think... How fast can you do a Roku Deja Vu story, Owen?
Your data got stolen again.
Done.
So, two more times until we get Yahtzee.
So, you know, you remember when we talked about it last time and me and Tony immediately went and changed their passwords? Yeah. Well, this time they got almost everybody. No, they didn't. It's like 80 million people that have Roku logins. So they got somewhere around 514,000 people.
How many people are using it right now? How many users do they have?
I don't know, but when
about
you create
80
a
million, I thought.
Yeah, users, like I don't know if that's active, but like basically that's how many accounts they have. And when you sign up for Roku, you have to put in a payment method. And so last time this happened, people were getting their accounts hacked and people were buying hardware, buying subscriptions, selling, you know. This time they did it again, happened again, way bigger. Last time it was 15,000. This time it's somewhere close to 520,000. But now if you're one of the affected accounts, they have reset your password for you. And they will also be refunding any purchases or anything like that. So they're making good on that. That's actually really good. You don't have to fight them for it.
Yeah.
And then also they are now going to be forcing two-factor authentication on all accounts. So look forward to that.
I love two-factor, but I hate the lack of convenience with it, the inconvenient aspect.
Especially when you're doing it on necessary. An application. Especially when you do it on an app like Roku, where you're signing into semi-smart devices.
Yeah.
You know, So we'll
it's
see.
It's a necessary complication this day and age for sure.
Yep.
All right. And last but not least, just a quick look at this. I found it the other, about 2 weeks ago. Check it out on the show notes. It's basically a Raspberry Pi stuffed in a case that looks like BMO from Adventure Time. And it's this thing you can build that just looks like BMO and plays episodes of Adventure Time on the screen that is BMO's face. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Is BMO the one that looks like the Game Boy?
Yeah, yeah. BMO's yeah. the game console with yeah. the Korean accent. I love BMO. Yeah, I just saw that and I was like, dang it, I might have to build this.
I might have to do that.
This is pretty dang cool. So yeah, check that out if you want a DIY project. There could be a lot of fun.
That's fun.
All right, that is it. We are going to wrap it up. But before we do so, a big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers, patreon.com/helpdeskarcade. If you donate $6 a month or more, you get a shout out on the air, which Jaren has for us right now.
Don't we just love our patrons so much?
Yes.
We do.
They're the absolute best. And I'm going to give a shout out very soon
to our... Oh, you didn't have it open, did you?
Most... wonderful, lovely patrons.
Patron, you can go there. It's where you can help support the show. It's where you can help. You can get some good perks. You get a super secret Discord channel. Get your name read if you donate $6 or more.
Jaren?
You can enter into the patronity.
Yeah. No. You'll find us pretty active in the Discord channel sometimes. We'll reply and talk there. So.
I was totally on time. And big shout out and thank you to David Broshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wolfaball Tony. I'm the best reader of patrons. Jason Eatman, Keonda Carnal. I'm Halo Onyx. How about you? Hey. Andy Bird. Be the 8-year-old. Tony the Home Theater Geek. Travis Johnson, buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy. All proceeds go to Lee George Cade's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name, No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, The In-Between Rating, +6, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd, History Is There for You to Learn From or Repeat, Your Choice, Ryan M. and Adam Hecht. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Patreon backers.
Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop.
You are awesome. Okay, that's it for Geek Show Help Desk this week. Join us over there at Geek Show Arcade, and we're going to talk about video games and video game related things. If you want to email us at geekshowhelpdesk@gmail.com. And until next week, James, take us out.
Hey, help desk.
That's it?
Get a number. Stand in line.
It's better than the usual outro.
The number.
Be a user.
Warranties are there for a reason.